Fish, Jonathan Weir. How are you guys doing?
We appreciate you hanging out with us here on a Wednesday night. Just heard in the news that Montana is the first state to officially ban the use of TikTok, not just governmentally, but for all of its citizens, and that's going to start January 1st, 2024. Now, here's the way that it's banned. It's not banned like if you have it now, then you can't use it. The way it works is you can't download it from the App Store on your Android or Apple phone after the 1st of January. So that's really bad news for the 37 people who live in Montana. And also, I guess I would like to wish the state of Montana good luck because you're taking on Google and Apple. We thought DeSantis was gutsy taking on the mouse. You guys are taking on Google and Apple. They have the legal capability to sue you into the Stone Age. Or better yet, they'll just buy your state and call it iMontana. That, look, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be worried about what TikTok is doing. I'm not even saying that it should be legal. I'm personally all for regulating the hell out of all social media. I think it's a poison in our society. Having said that, I don't think that this is going to end very well for Montana, because it's also a clear violation of freedom of speech, and that's kind of a big problem. All right, let's talk about this. New report out says that fentanyl, while it is incredibly deadly, is not nearly as deadly as some people are making it seem. Specifically, you keep hearing news reports about police officers being exposed to fentanyl and then almost ODing or having to be taken to the hospital because it's so bad for them. They didn't smoke it or inject it or anything like that. They just touched it. They made skin-to-skin contact with it, and that was enough to send them to the hospital, or they inhaled powder fentanyl. And you see these stories every couple of weeks. But in this article, they talked to a bunch of different experts, a bunch of different toxicologists, and somebody from the DEA who said, nah, it ain't happening like that, bro. I don't know. I think maybe the cops are having panic attacks. Not exactly sure what's happening, but it isn't the fentanyl. According to one expert, Dr. Ryan Marino, this has never happened as far as just getting a overdose of fentanyl by touching your skin to it, by just rubbing your hands over it. There's never been an overdose through skin contact or accidental inhalation of fentanyl. Many police officers clearly believe fentanyl poses a significant risk. The synthetic opioid is powerful, killing tens of thousands of Americans every year, but medical experts say it's difficult to get fentanyl into the body. Quote, fentanyl does not pass through the skin efficiently or well. The dry powder form that's encountered in street drugs is not going to pass through the skin in any meaningful way, according to Dr. Marino. Then there's Brandon Del Pozo, a former police chief who studies addiction and drug policy at Brown University, says there's never been a toxicology confirmed case of fentanyl ODing on fentanyl just from touching it. The idea of it hanging in the air or getting breathed in, or somebody getting it through skin contact is highly implausible. In fact, it's impossible. Which makes sense when you think about it, because if it was so easy to overdose on fentanyl just by touching it, why do we see so many people smoking it on the streets of Seattle? Why are there so many needles all over the place? Couldn't the people just be sitting there rubbing a pill into their hands and getting high off of that? Also, wouldn't there be dead drug dealers everywhere? I mean, if it was so easy to overdose on it just by touching it, you would think that would have taken care of the cartels. They're the ones distributing it. Well, any exposure they get to it, either they touch it or they breathe any in through the air, would kill them, and we wouldn't have this problem. You'd also think that, the EPA would have to be brought in to clean up any site where there was a lot of fentanyl, because it's such a dangerous thing. And again, I'm not saying this to try to be like, oh, fentanyl's not dangerous. It's obviously incredibly dangerous. Over 100,000 people in the United States alone overdosed on it last year. But it's just curious to me. It's interesting to me that we keep seeing these stories about police officers having to be rushed to the hospital because they made contact with it or they breathed it in or whatever. And I'm not, some people might come to the conclusion, oh, the police officers are lying. They just want some time. I don't think it's that. I think they probably are panicking. Because one story like that happens, it's easy to get that into your head, that that's what's happening if you touch it. In fact, the drug czar for the Obama administration, I don't remember what his name is, but that just occurred to me. I'd have to look it up, and I'm not going to do that right now. But the drug czar for the Obama administration was basically the one putting this out there. Like, it's that dangerous that if you just touch it or breathe it in, you'll have to be hospitalized. Well, according to the experts, it's actually not. And just, again, breaking it down, if you overdose on opiates, that causes difficulty in breathing, you pass out, but before those symptoms, you get really high. That's, by the way, why drug addicts use them. They use them to get high. I don't know if I'm revealing anything. So you can tell the cops are having panic attacks because they're not getting, none of them are showing up to the hospitals high. They're showing up having difficulty breathing, passing out, etc. So I don't know. I'm not saying that the police aren't having an adverse reaction to being around fentanyl. I'm not calling them liars. I'm sure that they're freaking out. So I could just put this information out there at all to say, you know, maybe the next time you have a drug bust like that, you don't need to freak out so much. And it just occurred to me that even though people are having an overreaction to this one instance where police officers are maybe overreacting or psychologically having an episode when exposed to fentanyl, it doesn't mean that we should take fentanyl less seriously, right? I mean, these studies don't prove that we should take fentanyl less seriously, right?
Oh, no. Let's all go to the
comments.
Oh, God, I don't want to.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Oh, yeah. God.
Let's all go to the
comments.
To get ourselves
depressed.
All right. Go into the comments on this article from NPR about people overreacting to being exposed to fentanyl. Let's see what people say. Synth Rowell says, it won't matter how much people try to distribute the truth in this matter. People will have irrational fears over fentanyl until they find something else to be afraid of without cause. Okay, look. Again, just because some people are having an overreaction to it doesn't mean in the slightest that this isn't an incredibly dangerous drug. This is the most dangerous drug that's ever hit the streets. It is just as dangerous as advertised. It is really, 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 really bad. People are not overreacting to their fears of fentanyl. Maybe their children being addicted to it, or maybe a loved one overdosing on it. That is a real fear that is not irrational to have. God's Crack says, just like their dramatic and comical overreaction to marijuana. Okay, far be it for me to argue with a guy named God's Crack. But God's, I can call you by your first name, God's Crack. I don't know if you know this or not, but people actually weren't overdosing from marijuana, but people actually are overdosing from fentanyl. That's a bit of a difference. Like, you know, if you've seen the movie Reefer Madness, and it's a great movie, you should watch it. It's really funny, especially knowing what we know about marijuana now. Even in that movie, the reaction that people had to marijuana still isn't as bad as what goes on with fentanyl. Oh, it'll make you all hopped up and make you drive a car and hit somebody. According to Reefer Madness and marijuana. Fentanyl will make you, you know, die. It will make you drool. It'll just make you die. Finally, Atomic Redneck says this. My friend Becky used to be happy, a popular girl, until one night she snorted fentanyl at a party and she died instantly. Please don't do fentanyl. It's the most dangerous drug out there. Please don't wind up like Becky. LOL. See, you might want to reserve sarcastic comments for drugs that don't actually kill people.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Let's all go to the
comments.
Yeah.
Let's all go to the
comments
to get ourselves
depressed.
The secret is, don't read the comments.
I usually don't talk too much about national politics, but I kind of want to weigh in on something that's happening right now. And it's this Dianne Feinstein. Says she hasn't been gone from Senate. She hasn't been gone. Sweetie, yes, you have. You've been very much gone. You've been gone for a while. This happened in a brief interview on Tuesday where a New York Times reporter asked Feinstein about the well wishes that she's received from her fellow senators following her return. And she said, "What have I heard about what? I haven't been gone." And then he clarified the question and he said, you were gone from the Senate because you were, out for like months because you had shingles. You're getting treatment for shingles. And she said, I haven't been gone. I've been working. And so in case you're like, oh, well, she just means she's working from home. He then asked if she meant that she'd been working from home. And she said, no, I've been here. I've been voting. And then declined to answer any further questions. So that's a little bit frightening that somebody that's on a bunch of committees in the Senate, that somebody who wields a lot of power in the Senate and is on the Judiciary Committee and is holding up votes on making sure that judges that the president wants to sit, that person is like, I don't know what you're talking about. I've been here the whole time. Ooh.
She's doing the Trump thing.
Of what? What's the Trump thing?
Denial.
Oh, just denial? I don't know that it's that smart to deny something. When it's just like, well, there was an empty seat there, ma'am. I don't even know if Trump would be that brazen. Be like, I wasn't there.
That never happened.
That wasn't me.
I didn't.
That
do
was
that.
Somebody else you saw.
You didn't.
No. That was Donald Drump is who you saw.
That was Fyan Dienstein.
If nothing else, then this should. I'm trying to think of a positive spin on this for Democrats. I really can't. Other than maybe you could look at this and be like, okay, you know how you say that Biden is too far gone? No, this is what that actually looks like. This is what that actually looks. This is when it's too far. That's when it's too far. Also, I feel like I'm in topsy-turvy world. How are the oldest people in the Senate, like obviously the oldest person in the Senate and the oldest president we ever, they're Democrats? I thought the GOP was supposed to be the old party. I mean, they are, but they're just not as old. You boomers need to retire. That's all I'm saying. Just it's time to let other people take control of the country. I know you don't trust us. I know. I get it. I understand. I don't trust us much either, but I trust us a little bit more than you because at least we generally know where we are 24/7. Hell, that's where we are. We're in the pits of hell is where we all are. All right, moving on. Another thing I don't really like talking about is the royal family, but this is also a very interesting story involving Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. According to the couple's account, they were chased around by photographers, paparazzis, for over 2 hours. They call it a prolonged and risky night. Last night, the Duke and Duchess of Sussex and Ms. Ragland, I don't know, a friend of theirs, I don't know who that is, were involved in a near catastrophic car chase at the hands of a ring of highly aggressive paparazzi. The paparazzi were like going after them. They were driving up on sidewalks. They were almost running people over. They're blowing through red lights, according to Prince Harry and Meghan, to make sure that they got pictures of him. And look, here are some things that I care about more than the former Duke and Duchess. Do flea farts smell? Is the moon a good place to play tennis? What's the farthest cell that you can go down on Google Sheets? How far can you scroll down on Google Sheets until you hit the bottom? Is it possible or is it infinite? But I will say this in their defense, and again, I generally don't care, but if only there was an example that we could think of that's related directly or used to be related directly to Prince Harry of the paparazzi chasing people and it resulting in horrifying tragedy. If only there was like his mother that we could look to. If only Elton John had written a song in memoriam because of what the paparazzi did. I don't know. It's weird to me that we still have paparazzi, Kevin. You know? Because shouldn't social media cancel all that out? They're all willing to share every detail of their lives. Why do we even need paparazzi?
That's a really good question. Because they don't, yeah, they don't even, they're their own paparazzi.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually tired of hearing about them. I'm tired of seeing them. Why, they're not even a royal family anymore. Why should we care what they do? And if even if they were, like, I might actually care less about them if they were still associated with the royal family. Because as an American, it's my right to not care about the royal family. Damn it. Our ancestors fought for that. The whole reason we separated from that country is because the royal family was so annoying. And in all the papers, we couldn't stand it anymore. I'm pretty sure it was that. That or, like, you know, the right of individual human dignity granted by God. All whatever. Inalienable rights and all that stuff. But whatever. I think it was also King George was just really annoying. I don't know. I guess it's because social media doesn't cancel out paparazzi because social media is still controlled by the people who are putting it out. And paparazzi's there to be like, hey, no, we're getting them there. We're getting them, you know, when they're not ready for it, unprepared, unawares. But I still don't care. I let them live their lives. Please. Because I don't need to see it when I go to the grocery store. I don't need to be tempted to buy the magazine just to feel superior to people who are much more rich and successful than I'll ever be. It's Cairo Nights.
Listening to Cairo News Radio, Northwest News.
Leave me lying here, cause I don't wanna go. Leave me lying here, I don't wanna go.
Hey, how you doing? I refuse to go. My name's Jonathan Weir, it's Cairo Nights. How you doing, everybody? Some Veruca Salt. Coming up later this hour, Kevin's going to have his own segment. We're going to do music news with Kevin.
And, move over MTV no News.
Yeah, that's. I was just thinking, like, who needs MTV News anymore? We got Kevin. I think you're much more respectable than MTV News ever was. Well, maybe not Kurt Loder. That guy could have convinced me the Earth was flat, and I would have believed it. Speaking of things that are signifying that the world is coming to an end. The U.S. government, the FDA specifically, has given its blessing for restaurants to allow pet dogs at the restaurants. So it's not like mandatory. It's not like they have to allow pets at the restaurants, but they're saying if you want to let your clientele know that they can have dogs and cats, and I guess, I don't know, iguanas, marmoset, at the restaurant, well, that's perfectly fine. Half of the states already allow canine dining outdoors. The issue is far from settled, with many diners and restaurants pushing back against the increasing presence of pooches, according to this article. I don't know how I feel about this. I love my dog, but I think I experience two emotions when I see somebody with their dog, like, in the middle of a store. And not like, look, if it's Home Depot or something, that's fine. It's a concrete floor. But if you're going into, like, a Best Buy with a dog, that's carpet. I'm just saying, it's a little risky that the dog's going to go on the carpet, and then who's going to have to clean it up? Because I'm sure you won't do it. I experienced two emotions. One, annoyance that they're bringing their dog in there. And two, envy, because I know there's no way in hell that I would ever be able to get my dog in a store like that. There's no way. I can't even get him to ride in the car peaceably. I can't take him for a walk. It's not even if he sees other dogs. If he sees a squirrel. We have turkeys in my area for God knows why. Pandemic did weird things in New England. If he, God help me, sees a turkey, I don't have the strength to hold him back. And he's not that big of a dog. He's just very determined. So I don't know. Kevin, how would you feel if you went into a restaurant and saw people eating there with their dogs?
Eating the dogs or eating with the dogs?
Not eating the dogs. Obviously, that would be horrible.
Just kidding.
Eating with the dogs.
How would I feel? I'd probably join in. I'm fine.
You would join in?
Yeah, fine with the why dogs? Not?
Yeah. Now, granted, this is only an outdoor space, so it's not as bad as maybe I was making it sound before that qualifier. I just
bring
them
indoors.
I feel like I feel like people are getting way too comfortable with having dogs everywhere, and that, you know what? Also, I think the third emotion besides annoyance, envy, the other emotion I feel is pity. I feel pity for the dogs. Because you know what we've done to dogs? Do you know what dogs used to be? Dogs used to be wolves that made the mistake of sticking around humans because we were an easy source of food. So they learned to be nice to us. And what did we do? We grabbed them, we domesticated them, and we turned them into little yap-yap chihuahuas. And like little things with weird pushed in faces that can't breathe properly, that are just struggling to live. And we're like, oh, look at him. He can't breathe. It's so adorable. Listen to him. We call him Snots because he keeps going like that. It's so cute. Listen to him. Yeah, we have to put a CPAP machine on him all the time. It's so cute. It'd be like if the only human beings on Earth were like Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Jason Momoa and Gal Gadot and then some alien race came down and grabbed them and took them home with them, and then a million years later they all look like me. That's what it is, and it makes me feel bad for the dogs, because the dogs,
yeah,
that you can
too.
Bring into the restaurants. Sheesh. Like that, yeah. The dogs you can bring into restaurants like that are the tiny little yap-yap evolutionary, you know, breeding dogs. And it's just, I don't know.
But they're so cute.
No, they're not. They're not that cute.
Put them in your purse.
Yeah. And that, I guess that's what bothers
Gucci.
Me. Like, these things used to have dignity. They used to have worth and self-esteem, and now they're just, okay, they're still fine. I'm being a jerk. If you have those little yap-yap dogs, that's fine. God bless you. I mean, my dog is certainly not a wolf either. He just thinks he is.
What's your dog's name?
Gordon.
Gordon Gecko?
No. All right. I'll just, since we're going to the music news and we only have like a minute or two left here in this segment, I will let you in on a little secret about me, and it's a little nerdy thing that I do. I like to have kind of a format for a lot of things I do, so I don't have to spend time thinking about anything because I'm really impatient. I'm really impatient, and I like to just get things done. Like when I prep the show, for instance, I have a format. I have the, you know, websites I go to. I have like little things I check off. I have a system for everything. My system with my dogs or cats, I don't have any cats anymore, but when I had cats, is I name them after a musician that I like. So I'll play a game with you right now, Kevin. My dog's name is Gordon. Who did we name him after?
Gordon Lightfoot.
Oh, that's a great guess. We named him after Gordon Gano, or Gano, from the Violent Femmes.
Nice. Never would have guessed that. I had no idea any of the members of that band.
Really?
Yeah.
Brian Ritchie, Gordon Gano, and the other guy.
I don't know him.
Let's see. I had a cat named Billy.
The pop punk band Billy Talent from Canada.
This is Billy Corgan.
I was going to say Billy Joel or Billy Joe Armstrong, but...
Billie Eilish, actually. It was 12 years ago, but I just knew that she'd be a big star one day.
I don't want to know why you knew about her 12 years ago, but hey.
You don't want to know why. It has nothing to do with anything creepy. It has everything to do with me just staking out children's talent competitions.
Okay.
I told you it wasn't creepy. That's all it was. I was going to keep playing this game, and I realized the answers are way too obvious for most of these. Like, I had a cat named Pixie. He's named after the Pixies. We had a cat named Pumpkin, named after the Smashing Pumpkins, and was orange.
I have a dog named Slayer, named after the dog named after the band Slayer. No, I don't, actually,
oh, yeah.
But...
Should have named him Crane, King. That'd be a good name for a dog, and it's the name of the guy from Slayer.
There you go.
All right. All right, coming up, it's Kevin's Music News. I have no idea what we'll be talking about, but I'm sure it'll be good. And Cairo Knights. Jonathan Weir, actually, full name. I don't have any intro music for you, Kevin. But we're going to do a little segment called Kevin's Music News, where he's just going to drop some music news knowledge on you, and I'm just going to sit here and enjoy not being the lead person talking for once. Go ahead, Kevin.
Right on. Well, Riot Fest is kind of a punk festival. It's also like rock, and you know, a lot of reunions have been announced for Riot Fest in the past few years, decade or so. Riot Fest is a Chicago-based festival. They even got the Replacements to reunite, the Misfits to reunite.
Wow.
Yeah, they've gotten so many big things. But this year, they have announced their lineup for the 2023 edition. They're going to have Foo Fighters, which obviously post Taylor passing away, they are back. They just released a new single today. The Cure is going to be playing, the Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Queens of the Stone Age, Turnstile, Mars Volta, Mr. Bungle, Tegan and Sarah, AFI band I just came in with, Death Grips, Gaslight Anthem, a whole bunch more.
These are all bands that I played on my college station in 2009. I mean, obviously the Foo Fighters, but like Tegan and Sarah, the Gaslight Anthem,
The Cure,
Come
The
on.
Postal Service, Death Cab for Cutie, Queens of the Stone Age.
When is Riot Fest?
That is coming up in the summer. Sorry, I don't have the date in front of me, but it is coming out when it was posted, I saw so many people just saying, "I'm going to fly out for that. I'm going to fly out for that." And obviously, you know, it's being the summer, people want to fly out for festivals, want to fly out for vacation. So
it's September 15th through 17th.
Awesome. Right at the end of summer, so it'll start to, you know, get a little bit colder, but you know, right around that time is a good time for end of summer vacation. So I was curious, you know, I've flown out to see concerts before, but I haven't in quite a while. What is one band that you would fly across the country to see, Jonathan?
A band I would fly across the country to see. See, that's tough for me because I like a lot of bands that I'm thinking of would be bands that don't exist anymore. The farthest I've ever gone for a concert was when I lived in St. Louis, and we went up to Chicago to see Blur, and we also saw The Who in Chicago as well. So that was 4.5, 5 hours. Man, I would fly across country. I would go. I would fly if I had the means. I would fly across country to see Foo Fighters. In fact, I would fly to Chicago. I'm looking up tickets right now for this Riot Fest. So maybe that. Foo Fighters.
The Cure. Yeah.
The Cure. Yeah. I mean, just I think that it would have to be more than one band. I think it'd have to be a big festival like this. I could see myself going to.
My girlfriend flew to Italy on Halloween to see The Cure. Yeah.
Flew to Italy?
Yes. It's very gothic.
Why? Is it specifically because they're better in Italy? Like it is?
No, because it was on Halloween. She wanted to see The Cure on Halloween.
Okay. All right. That's
in Italy. I mean, she wanted to go to Italy, too. You know, yeah. It just happened to be that Cure was playing, and that's her favorite band of all time.
Did you have to pick up another job to help her pay for that?
No, I did not go.
Oh, you didn't? I'm just saying you helped her pay for it, though. That's what I'm saying. You were a good boyfriend. I know somebody
who the fifth.
Flew to South America, to Argentina, to see Vampire Weekend. And I was like, all right.
I wouldn't drive to Tacoma to see Vampire Weekend.
I like them okay. I don't like them enough to fly.
The Step Brothers, you know, band.
Yeah, I like them okay. I was, again, I keep thinking of bands that I would do this for, and I realized the reason I would do it is because they're all dead. So I was like, oh, Motorhead. No, they're dead. Lemmy's dead. Yeah, I guess just dead bands. That's who I go see. If you could just have heaven fall to earth, and you'd have Jimi Hendrix and Kurt playing together, with Keith Moon on drums, that would be the ultimate band of dead people. What band would you fly across the country for?
Well, it's funny because they're not dead. They're a defunct band that pops up every once in a while. They're actually from Tacoma, but if they were to randomly announce like playing a reunion at like a Riot Fest, they're called Seaweed. They're from Tacoma, one of my favorite bands of all time, and I would absolutely fly to anywhere in the United States to go see them. Absolutely.
Sunny Day Real Estate just played a show, didn't they?
They did. They're also going to be playing Bumbershoot.
See, that's down in Seattle. Probably fly across country for, because I assume that they were broken up.
You should come to Seattle for Bumbershoot and experience the first Bumbershoot back in its like original Seattle centric vibe. The tickets are pretty inexpensive, and we've got Jawbreaker, Sweetwater, Sunny Day Real Estate, AFI,
Jawbreaker,
Sleater-Kinney. Yeah, it's gonna be great.
Sleater-Kinney.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
At the end of the summer.
That's the beginning of September. Yeah, maybe I will.
Yeah, come on
maybe
over.
Yeah. My 6-year-old's birthday is September 1st, so I need to figure out how I can do that without, you know, ruining his life. But we'll figure something out. All right, good job on the music news there, Kevin.
Your son might like Sleater-Kinney.
My wife loves Sleater-Kinney.
Nice.
Yeah, so we might be able to do something like that. She also just likes Carrie from Portlandia as well.
She's awesome.
All right, she is great. Coming up, that would be great if Sleater-Kinney played with Trent. What was his band, Fred Armisen's band, Trench Mouth or Trench Foot?
Yeah, Trench Mouth.
Yeah, Trench Mouth, right. Those two playing together would be awesome. Coming up, we got the Doom Scroll. Apple is going to be rolling out something that will make you much more likely to get scammed, and it's terrifying, and I wish they wouldn't. What is it? Well, I'll tell you next on Kyra Nice.